Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. The book is Darkness to Light. It's Lamar Odom's memoir. Chris Palmer helped him write it, and he joins us now. Chris, what's going on, man? Appreciate the time.
Hey, how you guys doing, man? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, anytime. Pleasure. So there are tell-alls, and there are memoirs that are written in history, and some of them run from issues. Some of them try to dress up issues. This book does not do that at all. It's like the opposite.
You know what? It's just like when we first sat down to do this book, we said, listen, you have an extraordinary story. Let's just simply tell exactly what the story is. And that's what we kind of tried to do. And it just, guys, listen, I mean, there are so many things on the court, off the court, his personal life, his drug issues, just everything. We just tried to tell it as plainly and clearly as possible. And hopefully we succeeded.
Mm-hmm. You certainly did do that. It is one hell of a book, that is for sure. Where do you start? Like, I mean, obviously, you know, everybody sort of knows Lamar Odom's history and his transgression. Yep. So, like, where do you, like, you're sifting through his life that is so big, and there are so many things that have happened. So where do you even start with something like this?
Well, we had to start out with high school because we had to start out with basketball, just like AAU, UNLV, Sonny Vaccaro, all this stuff. Because you can't jump right into, like, the difficult stuff.
Right.
And one of the things that we wanted to try to do, what I wanted to try to do as a journalist was, like, Lamar has all these problems, right? He has, the drug problems, all these kinds of addictions, everything going on. And I wanted to trace back to the moment where these things began. And that was actually before high school. But we had to start, to answer your question, we had to start with high school because for me that was the easiest way to get in because it's just ball. It's just basketball. And so that's kind of where we started at.
What's the process look like, Chris? I'm a writer but a former newspaper beat writer. Never had the chance to sit down and write a book with a guy. I imagine this is not something you do from 8 to 5. Lamar wake up in the middle of the night and, hey, here's a story I think – you know, might be good for the book. Like, how does it look? Do y'all spend hours a day together? How'd the process look? How long did it take?
Yeah, that's a great question because, okay, so when we did the proposal, I would just go over to his house, and I knew that if I arrived at his house at 3 o'clock that we wouldn't start interviewing to 7 or 8.
Yeah, I got you.
Or just watching NBA or doing whatever. And so, like, the key process, a part of the book was we both spent 2 weeks in Miami. We actually stayed at the Hard Rock Hotel right across the room from each other. And I'd be banging on his door at like 12 o'clock in the afternoon. He'd be like, come back later. And I'd come back at 3, banging on the door. He'd be like, come back later. So I'd come back at 6. I'd say, hey, man, you ready to go? And then we finally start doing it. So it was like, it's a funny question because it was like every single different hour of the day, literally almost for 24 hours is how we interviewed and did it. It was just like, it was so crazy. I've never, ever interviewed anybody at, like, 3 in the morning, but this is how we did the book.
That's awesome.
It's interesting, and I want to sort of ask you about the process of it before we get to the contents of it, but I would imagine, Chris, everybody in the world wanted to write this book. Like, everybody wanted to help Lamar, because it's like it's the best story ever. So how did it come to pass that you were the guy? Did you have a previous relationship with Lamar? Obviously, he has to trust you to be able to tell you things like this. How did it all sort of come to pass with you being the lucky selection to write this book?
Well, the key word, what you just said, was trust. And you can't write a book with anybody unless you have that trust, you have that rapport, and you have that history. So I met Lamar. I was a young rookie reporter at ESPN, the magazine, probably in about 2000. And I took a trip out to L.A. I was living in New York, and I took a trip out to L.A. to cover what was then the Young Clippers, which is now 19 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was Darius Miles, Lamar Odom, Keon Dooling, and Quentin Richardson.
Yep.
And that's how I met Lamar. And we just, like, I remember the, like, I literally can remember the first time I met him. I walked into the locker room, and the whole team was shooting around on the floor. And he was the only one sitting in the locker room doing his shoelaces, trying to figure out how to get it just right. And I walked up to him. I just, I said, hey, man, my name is Chris. And the reason he kind of trusted me right away, because he knew that I had a relationship, a friendship with Darius Miles and Quentin Richardson. So that's kind of how I built up the trust with him. But it's funny because it's like that was 19 years ago, and he gave me the call. I think it was like now 2 years ago now in 2017 is when we began the process. But, yeah, you're right, man. It's a long time to build that trust because players need to trust you.
I'm curious, Chris, did approval from his family or from Chloe, who he was obviously married to for a while, for some years there, did that matter to him at all in this?
He definitely, that was one of the things that we talked about very early on in the process. Mm-hmm. He wanted to be very respectful of the family because he didn't have bad things to say about them. And so that was the thing. And because he loved them then and he still loves them now. Like,
yeah.
All the girls and Chris and Caitlin and all these people, like he's still very close with them. Well, he doesn't talk to them on a regular basis now, but he wanted to be very respectful and didn't have anything bad to say about them. And so that was kind of what we talked. That was one of the things that we talked about at the very beginning.
Gotcha.
As we mentioned, there are memoirs, and then there are books like this one that just, like, I mean, everything is out there. Like, nothing was kept away, it feels like. I just kind of want to go through some of the things that are in this book. He writes in the book that he has had sex with more than 2,000 women.
Wow. Yep.
Wow. Like, I mean, like, when you hear that, like, what is your reaction when you hear that?
Well, I remember when he told me that. So we were in Miami, and he was in my hotel room, and, you know, we were doing the interviews, and he was telling me about all this stuff, his escapades and all this stuff. And I said, look, how many people have you had sex with, man? And he just paused for a minute, and he said 2,000. I was like,
good grief.
How do you remember that? How do you come up with that number? Don't you lose count at some point?
You have to lose count at some point. I was like, come on, my guy. Is this real? Are you telling me this for real? But, you know, I mean, he's, you know, you're talking about somebody who, you know, he went to treatment for a sex addiction and also someone who has been famous for more than half of his life. He turns 40 this year, I believe, and he's been famous since he was 15 or 16 years old. I mean, you know, that's not my lane, but it's crazy.
How hard was it when you've got a guy that's got like 30,000 stories like Lamar does, and some of them he's telling you at 3 a.m. in the morning? How in the world, Chris Palmer, when you've gathered everything, you've done the reporting, you've got everything you need. John kind of asked you, where do you start? But I imagine that process of sort of trying to find the stories you know you want in had to be super tough.
It was super tough because, like, also, just to follow up on the where do you start question, obviously I started with an outline and just kind of broke down his life year by year.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And, you know, when I'm interviewing him and his friend, because it's not just him, it's high school teammates. I interviewed Eliza Morales, the mother of his two children, Destiny and Lamar Jr. I can't even remember how many times, and we talked about the very difficult subject of him losing their 6-month-old son to you know SIDS and you know, crib death, and so I kind of just plotted it out with an outline and just tried to go from there. And like I said earlier, I started with basketball. And Lamar is an interesting guy in terms of it's very difficult to figure out what he's ready to talk about mm-hmm. on each day.
I got you.
Mm. And you just have to kind of wait it out and see. And the fact that I've known him for so long, I just have that kind of just like natural feel. It's kind of like a teammate you can throw a no-look pass to. You know he's going to be there and you know he's going to catch it.
By the way, we were talking to Chris Palmer,
makes
who
a lot of sense.
Helped Lamar Odom write his memoir. It's called Darkness to Light. It's available on Amazon, wherever books are sold. It is an incredible book about a very fascinating athlete and a fascinating person. There is another story, another anecdote in this where you guys explore passing a drug test before the Olympics. Can you just, you can explain it a lot better than I can.
Well, basically, I think it was the 2004 Olympics, and Lamar had just got done with the NBA season. He was partying like crazy, and he didn't realize that when you play for the Olympics, the U.S. OC and the NBA, they do drug tests on you. And he didn't realize this. And so he had been smoking weed all summer, doing all this kind of stuff, and so they had to order. He wasn't going to pass the test no matter what, so they had to order, a fake phallus, or however you say it.
Oh, my goodness.
And he had to use that. You ever seen the Entourage when Vincent Chase needs to pass a drug test so he can sign a movie contract?
Uh-huh.
It's the same exact thing.
Yeah. So I just when you're relaying and when he's relaying all these stories, is there a human part of you who that is just like, why wasn't there someone around that could help him through all of this?
Yeah, I mean, I just think, like, when you are a person like Lamar and you're a professional athlete, you have a lot of people around you. And you do have people that care for you, but they're not always near. They may be on the other coast. He was in L.A. He was in Miami, so maybe they were on the East Coast in New York. So you have those people, but they're not always right there with you. So it can be very difficult. But he did have people he can trust. And I've talked to a lot of those people, and a lot of the stories came from those people. So it wasn't like, okay, so he was being taken advantage of a lot, but he did have a lot of people who were there who could help him, and that's why he made it through.
I'm curious, Chris, and having been around him, and I realize I'm not asking you to speak for him, but in terms of his purpose now, what he's on this planet to do, I get the sense that and from some of the stories he told you, it's, don't be like me. Is that part of it? What, and if there's more, what is more? What's Lamar's purpose now?
I would say number one, be a father.
Yes, sir.
To Destiny and to Lamar Odom Jr. I think that's his number one purpose.
Good.
Yes. You know, when you're an addict, you're always going to be an addict. So the concentration every day is on sobriety.
Right.
So number one, being a father, and number two, sobriety. And you know, I just think those are the two things that he's focusing on. And we try to get both of those things across in terms of the message of the book. You know, obviously now he's playing in the big three. But I just think number one is just, you know, to be a father. I mean, because I think that, you know, when he was playing for the Lakers and when he was doing everything that he was doing, and I think that he missed out a lot on being a father. And he never wanted to be like his father because his father wasn't with him. Very much. And so now I think that he's making up for that.
Yeah.
And I think he's delivering.
We can all draw from that, bro.
Yeah, I mean, like, as I was going to say, like, whenever you watch a movie or whenever you read a book, like, there's always sort of like a something that you want to take out of it, right? There's always something that you're hoping, at least something with a work like this, that there is something to take out of it. Do you call it a feel good? Like, is it a feel good story, Chris? Like,
no, here's one thing. Here's one thing that I wanted to do. Okay, so when you have someone like Lamar, who is, you know, he's on the Kardashian show, he's on TMZ, and his problems are well documented. The one thing that I wanted to do with Lamar, and I try to do with every single person that I write about, I wanted to bring out his humanity.
Humanize him. I got you.
I wanted to humanize him and bring out his humanity. And I think we did that in the course of the book because he's a human. Here's what I always say. Like, when you see these professional athletes, whether they're LeBron James or Kawhi Leonard or whoever these guys are, they're just everyday human beings who happen to be really, really good at one specific thing.
Yep.
And people lose sight of the fact that they're actually human beings.
So I
just wanted to bring out his humanity in this book.
Yeah, and then Chris, got to ask because I know you're a big NBA guy. Do you think Kawhi ends up in LA with the Lakers? What do you think?
I do. I think all the buzz that we're all hearing about has Kawhi to the Lakers. I've known for a long time that he has had designs on going home to Los Angeles. I mean, he's from Riverside County, but you know, but just going back to the Lakers. It seems like. Like the perfect situation for him, and you know, I mean, it's kind of sad that he's actually leaving Toronto because what they accomplished this year was incredible. But yes, to answer the question, I think he's going to be wearing the purple and gold next year with that big old number two on it.
You sound like you have like no doubt.
Sure,
man.
Did. Like
you sound convinced.
The Toronto past tense.
You know what? Just from everything that we're hearing and just like the buzz and. But here's the thing about free agency, you guys. People say this thing over here, and then people say that thing over here, and you never quite know until it actually comes out. I just think you're going to be in Los Angeles next year.
Got it. Hey, Chris, man, this was
fantastic
really
fantastic at what you do, brother.
Great work on this book, man. Appreciate the time, as always.
Hey, man, thank you guys, man. Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Yes, sir. He is Chris Palmer, co-author of Lamar Odom's memoir, Darkness to Light.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.